we begin to affect the city. We begin to affect everyone we meet when we go somewhere else, and it becomes a worldwide phenomenon. We're going to have some folks here in a few weeks, Chad and Jamie Elder, okay? Holy Spirit outpouring got all over Jamie in Spring Hill, Louisiana, and now she's taking that Holy Spirit outpouring to Africa, okay? So we don't ever need to put what we do here in a box. We don't ever need to say, well, we're just a little country church, you know, we're out on the highway. No, no. You don't put the Holy Spirit out on the highway. So anyway, I just want to say that. God was speaking to me as we're doing worship. And sometimes God starts speaking to me, we're doing worship, and I'm like, God, I'm trying to sing a song. I'm having a hard enough time remembering these words as it is. Man, I just really feel that, and that's why I'm challenging myself. And I talked to Brother Jason. I said, dude, we need to read Luke and Acts. Read it. Read it in the month of August. That's what I'm doing. Read Luke and Acts. Read it twice if you have to, because I feel like that's going to set me up for some things that God's going to do in my life. And I want to challenge everybody in here. Pick up the book of Luke. Read it. Pick up the book of Acts. Read it. And then let's just prayerfully believe and expect. It's okay to expect something from God. Okay? Let's do that together. I want to challenge you. All right, let me preach. After I preach. I want to read from the book of Mark. Oh, man, I got a lot to do. Time is it? I'm good. Y'all good? All right. Y'all had a real service out here this morning, man. We had VeggieTales on standby because we knew. I love Brother Hunt, but we knew. When you're in children's church, you can hold children's attention for about 4.5 minutes. And that's if you don't have a costume on. If you have a costume on, you can hold for 6 minutes. All right. All right. So in the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 21 through 43. Hold on. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. He's important, remember him. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him, "My little daughter is dying." Remember that. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" Sometimes these disciples. Okay. "How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." No. But Jesus overheard them, and he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith." Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and asked, "Why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead, she's only asleep." Here's a really important part. We want to really focus on this right here. The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave. And he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying, holding her hand, and he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened, and then he told them to give her something to eat. Okay, I want to go back. I want to rewind a little bit. The crowd laughed at him. What did you do? The crowd laughed at him. Everybody say haters. He knows. I want to tell you a story. I went to a place, a gourmet restaurant, very expensive. It's called Pizza Hut. I went there with my wife. We're on a date. And I had cologne on. And we sat down to our pizza. And she started eating her pizza. I'm a big fan of pizza, by the way. And so I got my fork and my knife, and I started eating my pizza. Yeah. And I looked up at my wife, and she was going, and I said, "What?" She said, "You're eating pizza with a fork." I said, "So?" Then I looked around. There were other people looking at me. And I thought, I'm going to make a scene. But I didn't. I eat pizza with a fork and knife. I eat ribs with a fork. I'm sorry. People always picking on me. People always picking on me about that. People always pick on me about something else I do. I am very OCD about touchy. Don't touch me. I'm sorry. And if Cindy was here, Cindy's my kindred spirit on that, because she freaks, you know, she don't freak out like I do, but she's just, you know, she prays in the spirit. But, you know, sometimes I'm like, "Holy Spirit, I'm about to be petty." And he says, "No, you're not." So, but people all the time, man, I don't know. But, like, you know, when people want to pray, let me tell you what happened. I was in Vivian, and this man was preaching. He preached a really good message, old school Pentecost, man, screaming, hollering, red. It was awesome. And I remember he had these awesome cowboy boots on, and I was like, man, if I could preach in cowboy boots one day. And so this dude's preaching, and he gets this altar call, and it's, you know, it's, man, there's a lot of people down there, and I'm sitting, I'm not in the altar, I'm sitting over here, and I just begin to feel a disturbance in the force. No, I just felt like somebody's looking at me, and I was praying, you know, and I was like, man, somebody's looking at me, and I looked up, and that dude was looking at me. And so I looked back down because I knew what was about to happen. And so, and this guy's far away. This is kind of a big, you know, it was a bigger church. And I was like, oh, no, Lord. And so then I heard, "Brother JB." And I was like, "Oh." And he said, and I didn't look up, and he said, "Brother JB." And I had the whole youth group with me, too. And they were like, "He's asking for you." And I'm like, shh. I'm in groans too low for words right now. And third time, "Brother JB." And now he's unfound me. And here he comes. And he was, y'all, we were inside. That man was doing this right here. He said, "Brother JB," and he came right over and stood. I was about as far back as you are, Brother Joe, and he's looking right at me, and I was like, hey, because I knew what he wanted, and I wasn't following the will of God at that moment. And so he says, "Can I pray for you?" And I was like, yes. And so I got up, and I know I sound like I'm being a big meanie, but there was a reason that I didn't want this guy to pray for me. And I had to learn. So I went up there. Oh, my goodness. So I went up there, and this guy put one hand on the side of my head and one hand on the other side of my head. And I was like, oh, Holy Spirit, intervene right now. And he started praying, and he got about that close to my nose. And, oh, my goodness. And it was a blessing. You know, he's praying for me. I appreciate it. I'm not dogging on somebody for praying on me. But to spit. Spitting on my face. Oh, man. If I was the blind man that Jesus healed, I would have still been blind. Because when I heard him spit in the mud, I would have been like, hold on, Jesus, what did you just do? And then when that mud touched my eye, I'd have been one-eyed because I would have took off running. But anyway, y'all, and so that was like 8 years ago. And people still pick on me about that. Jeff, you remember that time that guy prayed for you? Like, yeah. Man, everybody's always messing with me about that. And, you know, you eat ribs with a fork. We went to Memphis, which is like a big barbecue town, and I ate ribs with a fork. And I really thought I was going to get, like, bodied. Like, it was gonna be over. Haters! Everybody say haters. Have you ever had anybody, I want you to think all the way back to when you were just a child. Have you ever had anybody doubt you or ridicule you? Can we be real? Me? Come on, raise your hand. If you've ever had anybody ridicule you, or doubt you. Now listen. Keep it up. Keep your hand up. Look around. If somebody has their hand raised next to you, I want you to turn around to them and say, they were wrong. Listen. The crowd laughed at him. That is so profound. That the Son of God can walk into a room after he just healed this woman by not even looking at her. She touched his clothes and got healed. And these people are laughing at him? Man, when I read that, I thought, what? Who are these people laughing at Jesus? These people, in their fear and their unbelief, had invalidated themselves and removed themselves from the Father they claimed to serve. Okay? Bible says, who is a liar? The one that denies the Son. Listen, it says, no one that denies the Son has the Father. These people didn't even realize that they had just jumped out of the boat that they thought they were happily sailing in because they just denied the Son. Don't waste time letting liars put out your fire. 1 Peter 2:10 says, once you had no identity as a people, but now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. And there is no mercy like God's mercy. Somebody say amen. Amen. It does not matter what a person says about you, because your identity is in the truth of Christ. And that truth will set you free. And that truth will set somebody else free. Come on. When somebody's hating on you, when somebody is belittling you because of maybe for something stupid, for something they don't even understand, you know what? You say, I got Jesus. What you got? And then all of a sudden, those people that have invalidated themselves because they are messing with God's kids find themselves in a rough spot. And here's something really awesome that gets to happen. And I think God sets us up for this. He wants us to have faith. He wants us to be strong. But I think God sets us up to have a lot of victories. And there are times, watch this, there are times if you stand strong, God's going to give you the opportunity to pray for that person. Like, they're going to come to you, right? They're going to come to you after they were so ugly to you, so mean to you. A kid, when I was a youth pastor, a kid put me on blast on Facebook. He's a bad person, that's what they said. He's a bad person. And it hurt my feelings. And I said, man, what do I do? I talked to my pastor, and I said, what do I do? And he said, just leave it alone. He said, they can't do anything to you. He said, man, your identity is not on your Facebook page. Your identity is not what they believe. Your identity is what you have in Jesus. And I said, okay. And it took a while. It took 2 years. That person came to this church, and I was up here singing a song. I was singing, Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth. Y'all remember that song? And we called the prayer leaders, and this person walked up and stood. I was right there. They stood right in front of me. And I was like, what are you doing? And I felt this urgency to get off of my guitar, get off my mic, and pray for that person. So I put the guitar down, and I walked down, and I said, hey, what's going on? And they said, will you pray for me? And I thought, me? So, listen, your identity is not in what anybody thinks about you. Your identity is in Jesus, okay? And what did I say? That truth, the truth of Christ, sets you free, can set somebody else free. Free from fear, free from failure, free from judgment, free from sickness, even free from death and the grave. And that's in the Bible. You not only have a promise, but you are a promise. The hope that you have in Christ is worth protecting. Don't let anybody mess you up because they don't have enough faith to get past their own fear. That's why a lot of people are mean. That's why a lot of people are nasty. A lot of men do not want their wives to be successful because they're afraid that she won't need them to protect her anymore. Listen. People are so afraid. If somebody is afraid, they can do some mean things. Fathers that are afraid that their children are growing up too fast. Fathers that are afraid that they'll fail their children, run away. You ever seen that happen? A dad, somebody's daddy, will pick up and exit the situation. Because that man is too scared that he will fail. Instead of having faith in Jesus, instead of putting all his faith in Christ and saying, Jesus, I can't fail if I follow you. Instead, out of fear, somebody will run away. Matthew 7:6 says, give not that which is holy to the dogs. Your promise is holy, okay? You are. A child of the King. Amen? You are. Don't you give that to somebody. Don't you let them have victory over you because they're afraid. Don't you do that. Don't you ever do that. The crowd laughed at him. Pray for those that use you. Pray for those people that attack you. People that are so afraid that they try to sow fear into your life. Listen, live a righteous life in spite of their hate, their life, their malice. They can't touch you, man. Listen, y'all too blessed to stress, okay? That's what I keep telling myself when stuff happens. I'm too blessed. I'm blessed because I got Jesus. You know what? And it does not matter what someone else says, what somebody else does, what somebody else thinks. Even if they kill me, they can't take away what I have in Jesus. I gotta hurry. Let's look at something else. Okay, Roy. Let's look at something else from the text. Okay, they laughed at him. The crowd laughed at him, laughed at Jesus. And what did he do? This is good right here. He made them leave. He said, bye, Felicia. You laughing at me? See ya. And what did they miss? Man, this kid was dead. And they missed the Son of God holding a little girl's hand and saying, Talitha Kum, get up. And she said, oh, I'm hungry. That's how you know she was a teenager. Because at first she was dead and she woke up. She said, I'm hungry. Listen, Jesus wasn't about to let a bunch of haters. Everybody say haters. Jesus wasn't, he was not about to let a bunch of haters mess him up. Okay, so he threw them out. And here's a Greek word. And I told Pastor Daphne, I said, I don't know if I'm going to say that right because I'm not Greek. I've eaten at Shahania three times. But that does not make me where I can say the word. Because I had to go in there and ask him, how do I say the name of this place? Because it's a Greek place in Spring Hill, Jared. It's not Chain at Shahania. And I walked in there and I said, excuse me, ma'am. How do you say that word? And she said, what word? I said, one on the front, about there's a boat. And yeah. So Jesus threw them out. The Greek word is ekbalo. And that word means to cast out. Okay? We have all probably asked somebody to leave us alone. We've had people say, hey, can y'all get out of here for just a minute? Especially when you was a kid. Your parents, listen, my mom's not in here, so I can say this. My mother, y'all, she got red hair. My mother. My goodness. Me and my brother. Who has two sons? Anybody? You know. So me and my brother, man, we'd be fighting. We'd be doing something, and she'd be over there praying. She'd be like, Jesus. And then eventually she'd quit praying, and something bad would happen. And a lot of parents, they say, hey, boys, can y'all be nice? Can y'all get out? Go play in your room. She said, get out of here! And it's like, I mean, her glows. It glows. All right. That's what happened. Jesus did not say, he didn't say, hey, fellas, do you guys mind stepping out for a few minutes? We're trying to do a thing here, okay? He said, get out! Get out! He said, if you don't have faith, if you're trying to mess somebody up because you're being a hater, get out! And they said, okay, Jesus. Listen, with the authority of heaven, he cast them out. They didn't get to see the miracle. Do you see what I'm saying? They missed it because they were too busy just sitting on their fear. They were parked on it. And they couldn't get loose of that because they didn't have the right, they didn't have faith. They had faith in tradition and in something that they thought they had learned that was the truth. But there was the Son of God sitting right in front of them, and they couldn't even see it. They couldn't even realize what was going on. They didn't get to see the miracle. They didn't get to rejoice with joy. That's the thing that gets me. They didn't get to see this Father. Because, man, can you imagine being in his shoes? His daughter was lifeless. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, wake up, daughter. And she gets up. Whoa. As a parent? Wow. These guys didn't get to see that. They placed their faith in fear, not the Father. Don't ever do that. When a person or situation, and worship team, y'all can come back. And I'm going to close here. When we close, here's what we're going to do. Elevate is growing. I feel like we're growing spiritually. We're growing together. And last week, Jason had a great idea. He said, let's do altar. We had stopped doing altar. And there wasn't like a big theological reason we stopped doing altar. It just kind of happened that way. And so Jason followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. He said, we're going to do altar tonight. And we did. And it was so good. And that's part of God moving in this place. So we're going to do altar tonight, and I want you to be thinking about this as I say these last few words and I close. If you are facing someone that is trying to stop you from following your faith instead of your fear, I want us to pray about it. You don't have to. I'm going to be down here. Jason's going to be down here. You don't have to pray with us. You can take a knee. You can stand. But let's give that. Let's make an outward symbol by coming to this altar and giving those things, giving those people to Him, okay? When a person or a situation is being used of your adversary to try and stop you from living your best life in Jesus, you tell him, Jesus, cast this mess out of my life, because I don't have time to mess around with these people. I'm busy building the kingdom. I'm busy praying for the sick. I'm busy out here. We don't have time to be slowed down by adversaries, by people. So then, here's what you do. You pray that prayer. You mean it. You got to mean it. When Jairus asked Jesus to pray, when he asked Jesus to heal his daughter, he didn't go in there thinking, well, maybe Jesus can do it. No, he knew it. He was desperate. That baby was about to die. And he wanted his daughter to live. So in desperation, he said, Jesus, I need you to heal my daughter. So in desperation, it's okay to be desperate for Jesus. That's how we need to be. So in our desperation, we say, Jesus, cast these people, these situations, these circumstances, attitudes, fears, failures, cast them out. And then watch this. This is good right here. We're going to the Old Testament. Exodus 14:14. The Hebrews had gotten out of Egypt. They're running. And here comes this huge army. All right. The Egyptians were kind of a big deal. They built these things, pyramids. They're still there. We still look at them. They were a big deal. And they're coming after these civilians, these trained warriors, with spears, with swords, with chariots, with every weapon of war. And at the time, they were the most modern nation on the planet. So everything they had was state of the art. It was completely designed to kill, maim, and destroy. And that was coming after the Hebrews. And so they were a little nervous. They said, hey, Moses, we about to die. And Moses said, because he knew. Because Moses knew not to lean on fear, not to lean on failure, but to lean on faith in the Father. And so Moses said, he said, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. That's how I fight my battles. I shut up. I say, Jesus, I can't. Got fired from my job of 7 years at the very beginning of June. I went home. I was paralyzed with fear. I didn't eat. I didn't sleep. I cried. I wept. I felt like a failure. And all I could do was weep and say, Jesus. I didn't even know what to pray. I just said, Jesus. And my daughter has messed me up. I was upset. I was afraid. And my daughter, that little girl, the Holy Spirit used her. And I was sitting on my couch and I was crying, tearing up. My little girl, she grabbed my head and she said, Daddy, I'm going to pray for you. And a three-year-old said, Jesus, we need you. And I have never heard a more powerful prayer. And listen, got me leaking right now. Listen, he came through, y'all. Because when you say, Jesus, you cast it out, I demand that you cast it out. He's gonna do it. You just gotta be still. Y'all stand up with us. Jesus, right now I pray that every person in this room feels your presence in this moment. If there is something that they are facing in their life, a person, a memory, a failure, an attitude, a fear, that you can give them the boldness and the audacity to tell those things to get out, to give it to you, and to be strong enough to be still and know that you are there, that you are God, that you are King, and that you can cast haters, things like that out. You're big enough, and we believe in you. If you want to pray about something, if you want to have a delivering moment right now, I want you to come to these altars, and I want you to pray with me, with Brother Jason, by yourself, whatever you want to do, but let's believe together.